Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Responsibility of Wealth. Today's message is based on two readings, first from Daniel 10, verses 10 through 21, and the second, 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. But let us open with prayer. God of light and truth, you are beyond our grasp or conceiving. Before the brightness of your presence, the angels veil their faces with lowly reverence and adoring love. We acclaim your glory and sing your praise, for you have shown us your truth and your love in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So now let us turn to our Bibles, to Daniel 10, starting at verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. Stand upright, for I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. And when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground, and I became speechless. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me. I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? I now must return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in Scripture of truth, for no one upholds me against these, except Michael, your prince. We now return to the vision of the extraordinary man who was also very supernatural. The same description we also find in Ezekiel and Revelation. So I take it to be the manifestation or of the pre-incarnate Christ, whom Daniel would think of as the Messiah. As we continue with this, it will appear to get a little twisted around, not nearly as specific or as clear as we would like. But remember, this is apocalyptic language that is highly symbolic. It all depends on what we use as our basis when we read, that we will often find various interpretations. So we open with verses 10 and 11. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees. And he said to me, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand what I speak to you. Daniel had been asleep with a vision or in a trance. He is awakened by a touch. Now this is not the same being he saw in his trance. Daniel was really shaken and in fear and reverence. This messenger then speaks, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand. Daniel is encouraged by this messenger, by the greeting. We are all beloved by God, but Daniel gets a little icing on his cake with being greatly beloved. Daniel was in a class of his own, which should be fairly obvious from the number of direct contacts he had with heaven's agents. I believe we all would prefer to be greatly loved as is Daniel, but we also should be ourselves assured that we are loved by God. Daniel was a messenger to humanity and has a special place in this message. Daniel then stands but is weak and trembling. He's not sure who he stands before. And then from verse 12, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself. I have come because of your words. How many times have we read in the Bible, fear not, or some similar phrase? It is in there numerous times, from Daniel, a prophet, to a simple village girl who's about to find out she will be the mother of God on earth. It is also a very necessary message for all of us today and every day, because we do live in a dark time where Satan is using fear to try to control us. The rest of this message today should comfort us and assure us as it was intended for Daniel. And remember, Daniel had fasted, meditated, and prayed for 21 days. God heard his prayers, knew his heart. So often when we pray, we doubt that God hears, but he does. And what did Daniel do that many do not do in prayer? It says Daniel set his heart to understand, and he humbled himself before his God. When we pray, we are so intent on getting what we want, We do not offer to God the worship He demands and deserves. Our place is not to demand from God, but to worship God, then accept the blessings He deems we truly need. We never worship in arrogance or selfishness. And then from verse 14, that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood the angel 21 days, and behold, Michael, the chief of the priests, came to help. This messenger is held up from reaching Daniel for 21 days, the same length of time as Daniel's period of fasting and prayer. God heard Daniel and immediately sent the answers. But this messenger was prevented from his mission. This was not some earthly king or power, but a satanic one. What a remarkable insight into the angelic reign we are given in this passage. This angel was restricted from getting to Daniel for 21 days, 3 weeks, because of another called the Prince of Persia, who resisted him and blocked his way. It is only when Michael, one of the chief princes, arrived that this other angel was able to get through to Daniel. I think we have no idea what is going on around us. This Prince of Persia is a demonic angelic being that having been assigned to the Medo-Persian Empire to influence it, and not in a good way. It was obviously a powerful angelic being because it could prevent this other messenger from getting through to Daniel. But notice that Michael is called one of the chief princes. He is not the only one, but he is of highest order, and he has the authority and power to help this other messenger break through to Daniel. And with Michael's help, the angelic messenger from God can deliver what is going to be an amazing outline of future history and conflict. Turning now to verses 14 through 17. I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in these latter days. This vision refers to many days yet to come. And I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And then one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lip and opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him, Lord, because of the vision my sorrows have overwhelmed me, I have retained no strength. How can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? First, the messenger tells Daniel his prayer will be answered, but it will be in many days into the future. Daniel had hoped for immediate gratification, as most of us do, and was disappointed. So he reassumes his face-down position, not knowing how to respond. Now another being enters and touches Daniel. This one was described as having a likeness of the sons of men. Was this another angel? And we continue in 18 through 19. The one having a likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. Peace be to you, be strong, be strong. Daniel was so weakened by hearing this marvelous event will be a long time away, he despairs, was unable to respond. Then this one who just came approaches Daniel, touches him, strengthens him, and now Daniel is strong enough to hear and accept what is to be told him. In concluding this portion, do you not know why I have come to you? I now must return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. We see from this passage that it isn't just Persia that has a demonic angelic being assigned to them. The coming rise of the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great is still 200 years in the future. It will be overseen by the Prince of Greece as well. Fortunately, we have previously seen the nation of Israel also has angelic protection of the highest order in Michael, the archangel. So we have been given a glimpse of the influence that the angelic realm has into the affairs of men. The history of all of this is known up to today, for those who still believe in reading history. Scripture is our guide, even to look to the future. And from Revelation 16:13-14, then I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs. They came from the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons performing miraculous signs. They will go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on that great day of God Almighty. Chapter 10 is not a direct prophecy for future events, but rather a guide as to how we are to live in a fallen world. We are not told directly as to who this third being is, but from his actions I still will say it is Jesus talking to Daniel. This being is distinct from the others, and also is the one who brings strength and hope to Daniel. The other point is that Daniel was made aware of the intensity of the spiritual warfare that occurred and is occurring today. We all watch on TV or read stories of war and what it is like, but Daniel 10 speaks of a war that no man reports, for it is one that no man sees. Yet it goes on day after day and has a major impact on the wars that we do see on planet Earth. Daniel 10 lifts the veil that covers the natural and spiritual realms to reveal a battle that goes on in the invisible angelic realm. We live in a time of great spiritual warfare, one in which Satan is fully involved and intends to win. For us to have any chance of winning this war, we must know our enemy. If we turn quickly to 1 Peter 5, 8-11. Most importantly, be disciplined and stay on guard. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around outside like a roaring lion, just waiting and hoping for the chance to devour someone. Resist him. Be strong in your faith, knowing that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are fellow sufferers with you. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of grace who has called you through Jesus the Anointed will restore you, support you, strengthen you, and ground you. For all power belongs to God, now and forever. When I remember a Bible quote, but I'm not absolutely sure where it comes from, so I will resort to Googling it to find it. And when I put in the phrase that I remembered into my search, I found this exact quote, the one I was looking for. But it listed the author as anonymous. When I re-entered the exact wording, I found the true source, 1 Peter from the Bible. The initial result even had the verse numbers, for it was copied directly from a Bible, but the webmaster did not wish to give the glory to God in Christ. Be careful of information and where it comes, for we are in a spiritual battle where there is no help other than God. Instead of falling to our faces in fear, we should turn our faces upward to God, from where all help comes. We now return to Paul's first letter to Timothy in chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for that time to come, when they may lay hold on eternal life. Now Paul is wrapping up his initial instructions to his student and the future of Christianity. In beginning with verse 17, Timothy is told to command those who are rich in this age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Paul had earlier addressed the desire to acquire wealth in verses 6 through 10 we covered earlier. And here the emphasis was on priorities, on acquiring wealth for your focus in life where it should be Jesus. This passage is directed at those who already possessed wealth and how they should live with it. Nowhere does the Bible say it is a sin to have wealth. There is no shame in wealth, but it has always been in how we acquire and use what we have that will cause us to sin. Today, those who are already wealthy are the topic regardless as to how they may have acquired it. A prime example is Zacchaeus, the tax collector who waited in a tree to see Jesus go by. Tax collectors were hated and always thought to have taken from the people falsely. Now, no one even today likes the tax collector. And from Luke 19:8, after Zacchaeus met Jesus and heard his words, this tax collector responds. And he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. First, he makes this offer for anything he has falsely acquired. Possession of wealth is not wrong. And for those who speak evil of the wealthy without cause, this slanders the person. Second, from what Zacchaeus has rightly acquired, he gives half to the poor. Meeting Jesus changed this man, whom we know nothing about except from this passage. He went from a hoarder of his wealth to one who freely shares. So why not give it all? Those who acquire wealth rightly are simply receiving a blessing from God with the intention that it is used for good. The laborer is due his wages. We are all to reap what we receive from our efforts. Today, we have many who simply believe they are to receive even without effort. If you have it, I want it. There is a proper response to wealth, and being jealous and envious is not the right one. Paul simply tells Timothy they should not be haughty, one of those old-fashioned words that means that the wealthy should not feel as if they are better than their poorer neighbors. I remember an opposite from when I was in high school. I had to get my mother's car every day after school and pick up my brother from work. Like many young men, he had been caught speeding and had his driver's license taken away. He worked in a garage. And one day while I was waiting, a man came in to pick up his work truck. This man could not read or write. He signed his repair bill with an X, and his wife would come by later and make payment. I, being young and foolish, made a remark about the man's ignorance and obvious poverty. The garage owner took me aside and informed me that this man was actually very well off. He just couldn't read. I was being haughty, and I felt ashamed. This man who showed no obvious wealth worked hard and did indeed make a better than average living. I had made an assumption that showed I was immature and judgmental. The man was honest. He earned every penny doing work that I would not do, and he had accumulated wealth while paying his crew of men well. I felt I was better than this man, then found out he was far better than I could ever expect to be. Just because someone has money doesn't make them any better than anyone else, just that they have more money. If not careful, those wealthy in funds may find themselves paupers in the eyes of God. Second, never trust your riches, for they may be here today and gone tomorrow. If you've invested in the stock market in the last 12 years, you've seen values plummet and rise and wealth reduce greatly. Physical wealth can be lost in numerous ways. It can be due to dropping stock values, robbery, poor investment, fraud, bankruptcy, and more. Remember, the one you flaunted your wealth before may be the one you will need help for one day. Asking for free soup from the little old lady you refused a loan to may be the experience you would like to avoid. So where should we place our trust? And from the end of this first verse, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God will not give you the winning lottery ticket, but to those who believe and trust in Him, you will be provided for. It may not be what you want, but it will cover what you need. Great wealth will give you sleepless nights of worry, while when you live in the trust of God and the bounty He provides, you will receive peace in your life. So if you do have wealth, how do you use it? In verses 18 and 19, Paul tells us, do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a foundation for the time to come they may lay hold on eternal life. You do not have to give it all away or even set a schedule for giving, but you must always be aware that what you have has been blessed, often far more than others. Do not boast, but be aware of what is going on around you, and there are times or places where you can help. Never neglect your family or business, but count and recognize that you have been blessed, and it may be for a reason that you are not yet aware of. The ethics of Christianity as one of love for our fellows has a wealth as a greater blessing, but mostly it's the responsibility of wealth. If God has blessed you, you are to respond to others. If you are so placed with blessings, be it wealth, health, talents, or whatever your blessing from God may be, it was given to you for a purpose. And if you use it to that purpose, your reward will be great. Eternity with God. Amen. So let us close with our benediction. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called to the one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Now go forth in the name of the Lord, for this is God's charge. We should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. We should love one another, just as He has commanded us. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station, or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you miss a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the text and video of this message on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell and His love, to tell the old story of Jesus and His love.